Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. My Olympian mission is to promote lifelong personal development, human empowerment, out-of-the-box thinking, creative self-expression, and a dedication of one's unique talents to community service. All of my labors in this lifetime celebrate the hero's journey in myth, legend, spirituality, popular culture, and in daily life. I firmly believe that the human spirit is essentially heroic and always seeking ways to express its innate nobility and greatness, and that a life fully lived, dedicated to actualizing the highest we can conceive, is the noblest expression of human existence. Tonight, I'm proud to bring you Age of Heroes, the Elysium Project, and our guest is Hugh Trollson. Greetings and welcome back to the show, Hugh.
Hi, Hercules. A beautiful mission you have there, and I am fully attuned to that. So we should bring forth some interesting things to help people tonight. And I wanted to ask you how you feel currently in what's going on in so many different ways. Do you feel that you're overloaded with information yet?
Well, I always feel that way. There's more information. I read books also. So
right.
I have so many books, and I've realized that even if I started reading them all, I don't have enough lifetime left to finish them. So I'm starting to cut back a little bit on my library and find homes for my books. And the internet, of course, there's so much information. So what this has done was this has awakened in me a desire to cut back my focus and to make it more narrow so that even though I'll be bombarded with information, I'm only moving in a narrow direction rather than being all over the place like I usually am. How about you?
Well, I'm just the opposite as far as I'm not narrowly focused. I'm totally open. Minded, but if I have something that I want to look at in a specific niche, then I can narrow it down, but I look for expertise in that particular area that I can interact with and using my creativity make them aware of things that they may not be aware of. And there's not enough information for me. The thing is, it's how you go about looking at it and utilizing it to learn. And then as you learn, I believe in the spiritual sense, we're then supposed to be a blessing to others, and especially those who can't help themselves. So these are the true essences of what I think we're here for. And that's something I threw out information in general because there's so many different directions and rabbit holes that you can get pulled into. But I really, through all of my bizarre life experiences, have simplified things. I think I'm right on track with it, too, to two simple basic energies. One is positive and the other is negative. And we have free will to choose to go in either direction. The positive energy I attribute to God energy, that's love, there's nothing more powerful. But again, with the free will, we can get pulled off track or go into the darker stuff. But when we see that we're making mistakes, we always have that ability to go to the other energy of love. And it's in the beginning, it may be difficult for people to not understand how to tap in correctly because we're being manipulated in so many different ways. But and it's not about religion. We talk spirituality. That's a personal heart-to-creator connection. So I say any religion that's not leading you to that is just a third-party manipulator. And if all the religions on the planet function properly, nobody would be deprived clean water, food, and proper shelter. And any religion that tells you to kill someone's not a religion at all. It's a terrorist organization. I'm very concerned because throughout history, we keep having these wars based on religious beliefs and what's going on over in Israel with the Palestinians, too. It's flaring up again in certain ways. But if there's a chosen people, they should be emanating love. Not, well, we're better than you, and we're going to enslave you or control you. No, show the love, empower, and be a blessing to those, and then we'll manifest a better world.
When we first started this new age of heroes, wherever I moved, and now I'm in New Jersey, I always start an Age of Heroes initiative. The first one was in New York City. Oh, God, it's been over two decades, no more already. That one was focused on the gap between those who had computers and those that didn't have computers. In Pennsylvania, it was there was a problem with literacy on all levels. So that became the focus. And here in Jersey, the way we started it was on the fact that even though we believe different things, we have different ideologies and so forth, we seem to have collectively forgotten that we're people, and that
exactly.
If we talk to each other as people rather than lumping ourselves into groups and then passing judgment on groups, that things will go a lot easier. So we started gathering together people who believed in different things. Some had cosmic space religion. Some were Christians. Some were the Hebrew faith. Some had different spiritualities, Wiccans. We had all sorts of people. And we started talking and sharing our beliefs so we understood, but without trying to convert anybody, just to explain, what your beliefs are all about. And we found that beyond our different beliefs, we had a share of common human values. So we started focusing on that. And that was very productive. We did it for a couple of years, and we're continuing along that route, but we're being a bit broader, and now I'm focusing more on people with different political ideologies, because that's been breaking us apart and dividing us even further.
Yeah, also race, and now we are getting into a whole other area with big things happening with UFOs, so there's a lot of different areas, but yeah, what you're talking about is what's so needed, and this all starts with each individual, and I hope we can dumb it down enough throughout this whole program just to get even those that aren't that well educated to understand that it's not complicated. It's what you think about, you bring about, if you want to look at it that way, and start testing the positive and the negative energies. So, and I always say, too, beyond a certain point, if I can't handle something, I have to just let go and with my faith let it happen. And if my faith is rock solid, if it's a negative situation, it has always worked out in my life. In a lot of ways, is like the poem Footprints in the Sand. I don't know if you're familiar with that poem, but yes. Yeah, so. That's where the faith is tested, and you have to just, say, okay, and it even ties into the COVID-19 now. I'm not getting the shot, but I live a lifestyle where I don't feel I should have to get it or need to get it. And I live sort of like a monk, but if I was active and out there, I might be one of the first ones. But I say, no matter what your choice is, if you choose to get it and you're not sure if something may be negative, to just ask before the shot is given to you that divine protection is there, so that anything that may be negative is transmuted. And that can carry over into many other areas too. So again, people just don't, they're too distracted with this material world, which again, everything is energy. Everything you see around you is energy. It's not solid. And it's been proven, if you put your hand under a very powerful microscope, you'll see it's not solid at all. So just keeping it simple and knowing that there's those two basic energies, and with the free will, we can go either way. And if we make mistakes, we have the opportunity with our free will to choose a better way of doing things without keeping the mistakes being repeated all the time. And I, as far as the materialism, a lot of people might not think I'm very successful because I haven't made millions of dollars or whatever, but I think you've seen the big website that I have letters from people that were top in their fields and even high-level government officials, and these people all gave me respect for the creativity and intelligence that I had, and I gave away connections to big corporations that they circumvented me and probably made millions of dollars, but that was their choice. But there's karma attached to those things too, so you can't take it with you. And these people,
no,
these big, yeah, well, that's another whole area now too, with all these people who have these big mansions. You know, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with wealth, and you have to have good people. Hopefully you get good people that you're not enslaving, but you're empowering and being good to, as they help you with whatever it is for the household needs, or gardening or nannying or whatever. some of these people, it's beyond the basics. When you have 10 estates all over the world, that you can only be in one at one time. I mean, what's all that about?
I have nothing against people having vast wealth, but I believe, like you, that we're responsible not only for ourselves, but for everybody on the planet. And as you were saying, you know, if we had a functional spirituality that recognized the spirit in humanity, regardless of its many expressions, and we took care of everybody, that's certainly within our power to do. We can do that if we chose to do it. But as you said, we're free will, and many people choose not to do that. So we have the types of situations that we currently have.
Well, we have now technologies that people just don't know how to use properly. That I grew up before all this internet stuff. I basically had the radio, TV, and telephone. But I will not allow myself to be manipulated into trying to figure out all these programs and things. I find people that I can interact with that can assist me with stuff, and that frees up my mind to stay in a free-flowing, creative way, because if I had to learn a whole new software package every other week or get a new phone, even the phone's like a puzzle when you get a new one just to figure out how to use them. So I look at the internet as mankind's avatar for the future, but it's like the Wild West right now. It can be cleaned up, though. I like what's coming along with blockchain, where once a business deal is done, it's set in stone, more or less. It can't be changed. It's on there forever. I don't know about the different things with the bitcoins. I'm a little leery. I still like to have the cash in hand, because I don't want to give up control with somebody that is going to tap in and shut down accounts or whatever, and say, we don't like you, so you're not going to be able to get your groceries this week or whatever, too. So,
yeah, I'm kind of leery of bitcoins, too. I read good things about it. I read bad things about it. I don't understand it very well. And I've had several people, yourself included, telling me more about bitcoins. But for some reason, my inner consciousness is not digesting that and able to make use of it. So I'm just going to let that one go, you know, and focus on it.
Well, I would say the best thing people can do right now is to take a little time, and they should have been doing this with COVID-19, being homebound or whatever, to self-reflect and understand that even an atheist can't deny the fact that we all came from spirit. So what does that mean? We incarnated into this physical world. I was blessed with an earth angel for a wife for 35 and a half years, who taught me what I say we all incarnate to learn is unconditional love. And then as we learn, it was supposed to be a blessing to others. And that's actually being a blessing back to you. Don't look for how it's going to come, but I have so many delightful things when I help people and don't look for how it's going to come back. I have this thing where I will go to the local, I'm right behind the shopping center, I'm blessed in that way, and a senior independent apartment building. And so I'll go over and get a few groceries, and if I have a couple extra bucks, I'll get a scratch-off lottery ticket, whatever. A lot of times what will happen is it will pay for the groceries and give me a little extra, too. So that's a great day. The multi-millions are nice, but again, that can be a whole different change in lifestyle. It may harm you. You might be worse off than having a nice treat once in a while, just being in gratitude for the little bit that you get.
Right, and that depends on us. We can feel good about something. We can feel bad about something. We can reject something. We can accept it. A lot of how we experience on our world, our unfolding life, is in our hands. It's in our consciousness. And we can choose to be positive or we can choose to be negative. And a lot of people are not aware that it is a choice. But if you start working on it, within a very short period of time, you'll be amazed to see that the voice inside your head that criticizes you all the time or tells you negative things will be gone. And after a while, you won't miss it. You won't wonder what happened to it. And it'll occasionally...
Well, you'll always be tempted in one way or another, but that's, again, where you'll learn more about discernment, and through the various experiences you have, you won't want to repeat a mistake that was negative. So you mentioned that you do a lot of reading. That's excellent because it doesn't have to be a physical book. There's so much available on the Internet. But here again, you have to use discernment and look for the facts. But this is something I'm looking to show people, that you can, even if you're not that well educated, look for, just taking books, reading books in an area of interest. I'm sure you already know this, that in a particular subject area, if you read enough, you're going to start seeing commonality.
Right.
And those common threads are actually a guidepost to show you something that you've learned that is very valuable. And then you can take that knowledge and then approach experts in their field and let them teach you things that you would never learn because you're going to offer to help them. It's just a question of approaching somebody in the right way. And that's what I learned even when I was working 100-hour weeks as a contract security officer. I would reach out, I'd read a lot of books and then write letters. And I actually had a world-renowned business management and marketing consultant who was like king of franchising today. He knew my background from my father's company, and he was amazed by my creativity and was trying to start an organization with me. Now, this is back in the early 80s, his normal fees were like $5,000 a day plus expenses, but I would be able to arrange to connect him with people, and actually I would do it at my expense, of course, to just take him out to lunch to meet the other people, but just to sit in that environment was fascinating to me. And you learned so much through just that brief exchange of listening to him and the other party that I'm introducing him to. So these are things that anybody can do if they really put their mind to it and just look, how can I learn from you? Don't say, how can I be an intern, but see what their interests are and say, if I can find or help you in your areas of interest, they will help you.
I ran student intern volunteer programs for over 16 years, and I work with like over 14 different colleges, trade schools, film schools, and all sorts of schools to create internship experience. So what you're saying is right. They help out the agencies where they volunteer, or the organizations where they volunteer, and at the same time they're getting on-the-job training, they're getting work experience, and if they're dedicated, they get good references too. That's a win-win for everybody.
That's what I'm looking to do, exactly. I'm looking to create circles of love where everybody benefits in business opportunities, not just the greedy ones. And I have said in interviews, and I'll say it here now too, with the internet, companies, they can have the best product, the best customer service. It's no longer enough. They have to be good to their employees, their customers, the environment, and give back to the community in ethical, legal, moral, transparent ways, because people are waking up to the fact now that election day is not certain days. It's every single time you buy a product is election day. So I have given this example not to bash it, but it's factual information. I say if you're buying lead-based painted toys out of China through Walmart, your kids don't have a choice, but you do. And a lot of people don't know. It's verifiable on the internet. A number of years ago, Walmart paid a fine of $82 million. They were dumping pesticides down storm drains. So what's to stop them from doing it again until they get caught, or do something else until they get caught? We are. We wake up and say, no, you're not going to have my business if that's how you're operating. And $82 million is a sizable sum to either one of us, but it's pocket change. And this is the sad thing that these, again, not to dwell on politics, but it all starts from the local communities and gets into Washington. I don't care what political party, they're all corrupted with special interests and lobbyists today.
That's very true, but there are still politicians who, again, got into the field to get into public service, and they're not corrupt. I know here locally, I think very highly of our politicians, and I'm involved to a small degree in local politics. And they put in lots of hours where they're not getting paid. They get stipends to attend things, to defray transportation and things like that. But they're not getting paid anything. They're putting at least 30 hours each of their time every week. So the honest ones,
if you have them, I would like to help empower them. And I, you can.
They're awesome here in my industry.
Yeah, because there are ways that they can make up and get legal, ethical, moral, toll-free money or passive income with strategies I'm bringing forth.
Uh-huh.
So that's wonderful to hear that. And what I look at as far as everybody in the country right now, and especially with Memorial Day weekend upon us, I always look back at, I think he was just the statement that he made is something that everybody in this country needs to reflect upon and follow through on. And was when John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but do what
right.
you can for your country. So where is that sentiment today? Everybody's looking for the freebies and the handouts and pointing at things, and they don't even know what they're pointing at.
Yeah,
as I say, hate. And here's the other thing with, again, we'll get away from politics real quick, but
okay.
This whole situation with, I say, hate and blame will bring only shame, where love and light will bring the light.
There you
so
go.
I say, anybody interacting with a politician should say, don't tell me what you're going to do for me once you get elected. You tell me right here and now today what you can do for the community, the state, and the country, and let them interact and get them answers from the people. The people are the greatest asset of any country, and they'll provide the necessary answers or the votes to get that politician if they're honest elected. But then when they get to wherever they are in their position, they have to represent that majority interest.
Very true. And before we started our talk tonight, I attended a District 37 debate. And, of course, people running against each other. So there are some negative aspects to the campaign that we got in the mail. But in terms of the debate, people stayed away from our rhetoric, and they stuck with what they've done, their record, and what exactly they're intending to do and why they're intending to do it. So It's again, I believe that every community is different, and the whole process has some problems, but living where I'm living now and getting to involved with the people who are actually doing this, I'm tending to become more optimistic. So despite all the things that are going on and all the negativity, I see positive things happening too. So I'm going to basically focus on the positivity and contribute to it in any way that I can, and hope that if enough people do so, things will change because we'll no longer tolerate certain things.
Well, here's a perfect thing to do for any future meetings that you go to before the meeting even starts. Say, let's focus in a way throughout this entire meeting where we give respect to one another and understand that nobody ever wins an argument. That's a fact.
Right.
So instead, what can we do to bring forth solutions? Now, what's interesting, too, is things can be incentivized to bring forth wonderful solutions. Look what they're doing with the COVID-19, trying to energize people that haven't been vaccinated. They get these lottery things and whatever, and the people are signing up hoping to win $1 million.
I wasn't aware of that. Thanks for telling me about it. I'll look into it.
If you set the tone before even the meeting starts that we're not here to fight and argue, we'll listen with respect to each other's points. And I will interject this too, because I do have a personal problem with the way Black Lives Matter presents themselves as far as taking a knee in solidarity. I'm sorry, I'll never take a knee in that regard, but what I'll do is I'll lend you a hand and help you if you will go that way, but I'm not going to subject myself to you under your control because you're of one skin color and I'm a different skin color. I can tell you reverse discrimination stories that may be far worse than what you can tell me, but that's only going to create arguments, so I'm not going to go there. But do you want to be solution-oriented and with peace and love, or do you want to hate and fight?
I was lucky in that I was raised in a Greek-American household. So even though I consider myself American, I also consider myself Greek. And growing up as I did in America, where not everybody is Greek, it exposed me to a very young age to the fact that there were other people from other cultures. And
right.
I became fascinated as a kid with learning about the other cultures. And I like the fact that they did things differently, that they saw things differently, that they experienced life differently, because I knew that a lot of it, again, depends on what we choose to believe. So I also grew up with reading like fantasy books and mythology books from all over the world. And I got to see that a lot of the myths and a lot of the fantasy stories and a lot of the legends were, as you pointed out, very similar. So there's a Hercules, for instance, in every single mythology and fantasy story that I've ever read. They might be called Thor. They might be called the Dagda. They might be called Barbarian. They might be called Shu. They might be called one of a number of names, Balarama, Belus. But they're all basically the same figure. So it's a universal human thing. And we tell different stories about it, and we call it by different names. But that ties us together in that we're all human.
Right. So again, related to what you were saying too, even the indigenous Americans that were here before the Europeans came over, they were fighting amongst themselves. So who are you kidding here? The big question is, are we going to blow the planet to smithereens because a few people have a big ego? Or are we going to stop this stuff in its tracks and just unite in our various communities and look what can we do to bring peace and help people in the community and spread that out throughout the country and around the world? There's never been a country like this. I mean, some people might try to compare the United States to the Roman Empire, but no, like you were saying, we have all the different ethnicities from around the world here. And even though, and I am, I do believe in gun ownership, because it's been shown in the past where civilizations that gave up their guns were genocided. So the thing is that people have to understand personal responsibility. Now, I was a gun owner for years. I don't happen to own any guns currently because I'm older. I'm not hunting anymore in my eyesight, but I had a situation when I was in security back in the early 1990, before, just when cell phones were starting to come in and get popular, and it was getting a little tense, and I knew I could very easily get a permit, a carry permit, and have a gun. But I said, I'm military trained, and if I go that way, if I pull out my gun and point it at you, and you don't do what I'm telling you, I'm not going to take a chance. But if I shoot you, then I got a big problem, because it has to be pretty well justified all the way through. So I said, no, what other alternative is there for me? And that's when I thought about the cell phone. I said, well, if I can get on a cell phone, I'm creative enough, I'll get a whole army behind me. So I chose to go that way. But again, if somebody was close range and pulled a gun on me, the hand is quicker than the eye. You better empty that thing and hope that I just don't take it and cram it where the sun doesn't shine. So I don't have the fear, but I don't live in fear. So here again, it's just being aware of your surroundings and emanating positivity wherever you can. And you'll find out, if you just smile or open up or give somebody a compliment, that will hopefully change their day and your day at the same time, and learn from each other.
I believe that too, that if we're nice to the people in our world, however wide the circle of our world happens to be, and try to create positive experiences for them, or at least non-tense experiences for them, they will pass that along to the people that they interact with, and it'll be like ripples in a pond. If enough of us do it, again, I believe it can have a great impact. It's like the butterfly wings that they talk about, that the fluttering of butterfly wings causes cyclones in other parts of the world. So every little action is important. I believe that. We might not be able to do something on a grand scale as individuals, but we can band together, as you pointed out, and alone we can do what we can in the world that we encounter every day, and try to make a difference there. And that's not beyond anybody.
Well, you don't have to do anything grand if you don't want to, but if you say a prayer, that's an action, and that if enough people pray in the right way, God will put the ego in check where it needs to be globally. So that's what I always tell the people too, because there have been studies on prayer groups. I think it was in Washington, D.C., 1 year in the summertime, they had prayer groups looking to tamp down the crime rate, and the police chief said that'll never happen, but it did.
And I read about that.
Yes, I also read over in Australia that they were expecting a huge earthquake, and they knew where the epicenter would be, and they had indigenous women or whatever around the epicenter do ceremonies, prayer ceremonies. The earthquake eventually happened, but it was tamped down tremendously. So, it's all tied into spirituality, and I have seen miraculous things, and even in my own life, my earth angel passed in January 2007, a month and a half after she died. I almost died in a near-death experience when I was working as a contract security officer in a patrol car. I couldn't breathe and called my daughter, said, Dad, call the police. They got me on oxygen, got me to the hospital. I lost consciousness in the emergency room and was intubated, which a lot of the COVID people are going through. Not too many people survived the intubations.
That's what I heard.
And I came through it and everything, and then because it was on the job, started to look into workers' comp, and had a family attorney friend that did those kinds of cases, and she started the paperwork on it. In the interim, I went to the state doctor for compensation, and there was never a hearing. She said, I've never seen anything like this. So I don't know what to charge you, but she managed to charge me a sum for doing some initial paperwork. But I learned through checking, I guess I wasn't expected to live that long. That's why they gave it to me. And so I went to rehab and relocated down to Virginia from New York. And then my wife's insurance was running out, so I applied for low income through the Veterans Administration and came into the VA healthcare system. On my first visit to the hospital in 2008, I saw a pulmonologist. He took one look at me and said, you're going to be dead in 6 months. I said,
oh, no.
Nice bedside manner you have, doc. So here I am. I'm still going strong. And I live like a monk, but I'm in bliss. I stay in gratitude, and I laughingly say, but it's true, I'm changing the world from my dining room table. All these people out in the streets getting involved with fighting one another over a view and then doing destructive stuff. I've already predicted if it gets too bad, you can defund the police and get them out of the picture, and they'll be just in bunkers sending drones around with lasers to blow your ass to smithereens if they don't like what you're doing. So what kind of world are we going to manifest? It all starts with us, and it starts with those two energies. Where do you want to apply your energy each day? And just being in gratitude opens up a whole big area to just say, God, I know there's people that don't even know if they're going to have a meal for a week, and here I am with a refrigerator full of stuff. I thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm very grateful for everything as well. And I try to express that thankfulness as often as I can to everybody that I can, because I do realize that no matter how challenging things might get, compared to what the world is going through, my challenges seem not that big a deal, no matter what they might be. I thank the internet for that too, for making me aware of that every day through all the different information that I'm becoming bombarded with, that there are people in the world going through some really terrible stuff.
Well, there again, with the right kind of discernment, I say that's where you'll self-educate, because if you get experts that the information has been validated, you'll be able to go down in a specific area as deep as you want to even become a master in a certain area.
We're confronted now with a phenomenon that, again, always existed, but now it's become even more intensified, in that it's become difficult to discern what information to trust and what information not to trust. Because
I have a personal simple solution for that, because I will even get telepathic messages or downloads or whatever you want to call it. And I look at the information coming and I say, is this information all about me, just benefiting me? If that's the case, I want to dismiss it. But if it's something for me to learn from, where I can then teach others and be a blessing, that's what I want to pay attention to. So that's my way of discerning.
And as you said, the internet when you brought up before about politicians, we're fortunate too to have things like Ballotpedia, where you can go and check how somebody voted on everything. You can see everything they voted for, you can see everything they voted against. So despite what they're saying, which you don't know if they're going to follow through with it, if they get elected, and if they really believe the things that they're telling you they believe. But if you go to their record to see how they voted on things, that'll show you right there what they're all about. So the internet has given us easy access to these types of things. And also there's feedback now. People say what they liked and what they didn't like. So with all sources of information, there's all sorts of pros and cons about it that you can research very easily by typing into Google. And there you go. The pros, the cons, the pluses, the minuses, and you can make up your own mind. And we do have that, a blessing of too much information.
Well, again, it's good if you can look at it and find the factual information, not just buy into the sound bites, because I always look for what can be documentable. Now, you are aware on the big website of the front page Wall Street Journal article I was written up in back in 1983, that has attachments, and the whole article came about when I sent to the Wall Street Reporter one little short memo that had been sent to me, and the person that had sent it denied that he ever sent it or wrote it, but the Wall Street Journal reporter showed him a copy. It was his signature, which handwriting analysis would have proven, so he had to say that he was lying and that he did send it. Now, what was interesting too, and here again, this is spirituality and working on my behalf, this person actually came up and met with me in New York. I even paid for his a hotel room, and I was busy with a workers' comp case because of a back problem, and had a hearing that he came to with me. And in the hearing room, they took an inventory of the people, and they asked who he was, and he said he was representing me as my attorney, and then he denied that, but the hearing record picked it up as described in the Wall Street Journal article. He was guilty of a misdemeanor just from doing that.
That's your whistleblower stuff, right? You have some stuff on whistleblower?
Yeah, that's the whole website is www.rooting, R-O-O-T-I-N-G, out, O-U-T, corruption, C-O-R-R-U-P-T-I-O-N, dot Weebly, W-E-E-B-L-Y.com. There's an easy way to get to it. If you just Google three words, and this page that you'll be going to will provide my background, heritage, and more. Just Google my last name, Traulsen, T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy, the second word and, the third word Trump, T-R-U-M-P. I even share a common background with the former president.
Yeah.
I was looking to help him unite the people, the country properly, but he was too far gone in his ego, and that's what I say is causing his own self-destruction and will continue to do so. It's very sad to see that the choices that he's made, he's on the hate and blame trail all the way through. That's the negative timeline, but I would still even help him, but he doesn't want to be an honest person. It's sad. And he's affected a lot of lives. There's karma attached to all of that.
In the world. So yeah, of course he affected lots of lives and
it's been his whole life that way. And you know, he had two major mentors, and one was the person who married him to his first wife, Ivana, and that was Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. And Dr. Peale was on the positive timeline.
I remember him, yes.
Yeah, he wrote the book, The Power of Positive Thinking, and actually my wife worked for his organization, Guideposts, for about 10 years.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's still around. And then the other mentor, the one that Trump paid the most attention to, was Roy Cohen. And Roy Cohen was involved with all that McCarthyism and stuff, and Roy Cohen was, you know, he to the very end, he would never give up in a fight, but I don't fight. You'll fight yourself when you fight me, because I just will let go and let God. And I mean, I've had experiences where I've been set up in so many things, and people have actually died to the pool with me in a negative way. So I don't have to fight you. All I have to do is, when I see that you're doing things in negative ways, say, well, good luck to you, but I'm letting go and letting God handle this. So whatever karma you're going to take on in that regard, good luck. That's so true power.
You're doing a lot of things. We only have 15 more minutes. So I want to give the audience an idea of the things that you focus on to try to make the world a more positive place. And then, of course, how can people find you and how can they follow what you're doing and how can they contact you?
All right. Well, it's very easy to find me. Just put my name on Google or YouTube, Hugh, H-U-G-H, Charlson, T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S like Sam, E like Edward, M like Nancy. There's a lot that is managed on my behalf. I don't do anything personally inbound or outbound on the internet. My address is shown on various documents, but if somebody had an interest in speaking with me, they can call me. I'm not always available, but if they leave a message, I'll call back if it's an appropriate message. My telephone number is area code 804-798-1139. And you mentioned a while back related to butterflies. People really enjoy this brief little article that I was interviewed by the COPD Foundation after my name, Hugh Charlson, put on Manifesting Your Future. I, in that brief interview, discuss an encounter with a monarch butterfly, and people just love the reading that. So,
and your poems out there too. I know you have a poem page, and
I have a lot of things. Again, I'm all over the map in certain ways, and some people will say I'm vague. I said, well, let's get specific with what your interests are. And but a lot of people also go into fear because I don't have the fear, but I've had UFO, paranormal, near death with ongoing paranormal and very powerful documentable synchronicities. And I'll interject this one because it really is quite impressive. On the big website, rootingoutcorruption.weebly.com, there's a page, Media Review. There's a couple of book jackets. The first one is titled The KGB, The Eyes of Russia, written by a high-level CIA operative, Harry Rosinsky, who I actually spoke with after reading his book back in the early 80s. And underneath the book jacket, there's an archived blog talk show where I called in and spoke with a Reverend Mario related to synchronicities I discovered I had with Harry Rosinsky, because I lost contact with him after speaking with him back in the early 80s. And 2008, something triggered me to see if he was still alive. I Googled his name and found his obituary, and four synchronicities jumped right out at me. His name was Harry. My father's name was Harry. His wife's name was Barbara Helen. My mother-in-law's name was Helen. His daughter's name was Ann Elizabeth Hunt. My wife's name was Ann Elizabeth. My mother's maiden name was Hunt. Now, you find four synchronicities and an obituary, that's pretty bizarre, but then you tie it together with high-level CIA, that's off the charts. So I spook the spooks.
So what do you think about synchronicity? Because that happens to me a lot. I live in...
Well, there's good synchronicities and bad synchronicities. So again, when you're manifesting, if you're on a positive timeline, they seem to occur in very strange and one delightful ways. A lot of people don't even want to watch mainstream TV or whatever, but I look at all different things, and I'll be watching a show and see something, and I'll make a phone call and talk to the person that was just on TV. what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to hang up on you? Big deal. But if you introduce yourself in the right way and show the right kind of an interest, you can create an opportunity out of nothing.
Right. That's very true.
It's all part of taking action, not just sitting and waiting for things to happen, because the law of attraction is simple and basic. What you put out is what you get back. So if you want to wait for something, you'll wait forever.
That's very true. You have to take action, and I forget who said it.
And then
it,
you're going to learn. If it's a mistake, don't be afraid to fail. I mean, the greatest successes have been had many, many failures. I always remember the example I was told about Thomas Edison being interviewed about 10,000 failures. The reporter was asking him that he had before he was finally successful in inventing the light bulb, and Thomas Edison retorted, "I didn't have 10,000 failures. I found 10,000 ways not to make the light bulb until I found the right way."
See it, how you look at it.
Yeah, so it's persistence. It's do things. You know, I had jobs that I didn't care for, but I did well beyond what was required of me in low-level jobs, so I was always praised for wherever I worked and always held my standard to understand that I'm being paid to do a job.
Right.
And I didn't, you know, say, well, I want my union rep or I want this or that. I actually had to join a UAW union at one point to get a job, and I at one point had a supervisor and the union rep, and I said, neither one of you are helping me. You're totally useless, and I'll handle this in my own way. And I did.
Yep.
So don't be afraid to explore your own creativity, but what you said is key too. Find through the books that you have an interest in, keep reading about people that that are in a field of your interest, and that's going to open up a lot of things, and that'll maybe even lead you into other areas to explore.
Very, very true. And how about deja vus? Do you get those as well?
Yeah, and there's another thing too. I don't have all the answers. I'm not a channeler per se. I mean, I'll get messages, but like I said, I'll try and use some discernment to figure out what the message is. Is this something positive or negative? But if I have lived past lifetimes and there is reincarnation, I think it's that we all keep coming back where we have a veil that we don't fully comprehend all of our past life experiences, but that we keep learning more about love. Love is the key to everything. And as we come back into a new incarnation, we have new choices, new experiences to elevate our love for the world and for mankind. As we're all connected, we're all the same, and anybody that is putting you down or if you're, that's something I'd like to just interject here too, that
sure.
I've said in interviews that if you had to experience a million times stronger the psychological or physical pain that you cause someone else, how long do you think you'd continue to do that?
Very good
so
point.
When you get up each day, look, well, how can I be a blessing? I want to give one last interview that I did that this woman is beyond the superwoman. After my name, Hugh Charlson put the words unlimited life, unconditional love. I was interviewed by Dame Nicole Brand, I think it was Memorial Day weekend, 2014. She's a member of the Transformational Leadership Council, upon which the movie The Secret was based. That's Jack Canfield's organization, the Chicken Soup Books. But on the Charlson Trump page, too, you'll even see a YouTube interview of her where she was being inducted into the Martial Arts Hall of Fame for the seventh time. That's the very tip of the iceberg of what she's all about. So she's actually my muse.
Oh, that is awesome that you have a muse and that she's accessible to inspire other people.
I can't praise her enough because you'll hear me in the interview saying that I was coming through one of the most difficult times in my life, having lost my earth angel of 35 and a half years and having a near-death experience and trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. And here again, talk about deja vu or synchronicity who comes into my life, but this wonderful angel, Dame Nicole Brandon, and what a powerhouse. You'll even hear in the interview where she actually out in Los Angeles stop the carjacking and went to court to testify against the person. He was a three-time offender. They were trying to recruit her to come on to the police force. But again, she's just unbelievable. Just to even follow somebody like that is so inspirational.
You're lucky to have such people in your life. That is an awesome
thing. Well, that's how I'm blessed. And that's where, again, even the mafiosa types of these controllers or whatever, again, that's all negative stuff that's got karma attached to it. If they only realize that the strategies I'm bringing forth are actually like a Pac-Man game of transparency that's going to come back at them, plug up their money pipelines and force them to change their ways or go to jail or whatever they have to be to stop them. And again, I say we're fully accountable. We go back in the spirit. You can't take all these castles and cars and stuff with you. It's of no use in the spiritual realm. And that's another problem I have with religion. Eternity is a long time. So I don't know. I didn't agree to get incarnated onto this planet to wind up in some hellfires forever. No, give me a break. Let me go somewhere else and try it over again, please.
There you go. I don't believe in being judged for all eternity either, because, again, as you said, eternity is a very long time. We're here for a very short time. There's no real instruction book. There are many of them, too many to even read. So,
look at all the universes and galaxies that they're discovering. As a young boy with my creativity, in my mind, I said, I'm going to go to the very end of space and I'm going to put a brick wall up. It's 500 trillion galaxies away from planet Earth. So, all right, I got my brick wall up there. Okay, what's on the other side of the brick wall that I put up?
You should write that story. That sounds like something that would be fun to read.
Well, again, there's so much. If you want to co-author with me, if I can get some good documentable factual information to help people, that's what I'm looking to do, because I'm mainly interested in stopping all this chaos by empowering people and showing employers that, you can have your employee as a tremendous asset if you know how to teach them how to get passive income for their family while they're on the job doing what they have to do. The family can actually roll out these strategies that also will benefit the employer with the passive income that are teaching them the strategies. That's not being done yet in business. Business is very leery and scared, but that's where the information I sent to you related to GameStop, that's a trigger for what can happen in the future with people waking up. Because the stock market is it's a casino. It's all hedge funds and very wealthy people just jerking people all over the place.
Yeah, that's a topic for another show. Thank you, Hugh. Thank you for so generously sharing your spiritual views and your vast experience. And thank you for also dedicating your time and energy toward making this world a better place. In our next conversation, we'll leave the planet and focus more on the celestial and alien realms that I know you've had a lot of experiences in. Until next time, this is me. There we go. In the interim, this is me wishing everybody, whether you tuned in live, whether you called in, or whether you're going to listen later on demand, joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Thanks again, Hugh.
Thank you so much, Hercules, and everybody listening. Share this show wherever you can globally and pray. Let God put the ego in check. God bless everyone.
And God bless you too, Hugh. And we're going to end today with If You Can Dream, with a few seconds we have left, by Virginia Ackley.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky. But only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real. Pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only